Hello and welcome to episode 27 of my podcast, I Shouldn't Say This But. My name is Katie Leeson and I'm Managing Director of Social Chain UK. And with me, as always, is producer Dodds.
Hello.
Hello, Dodds.
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. Happy Friday, everybody. This is our Friday episode, second episode of the week, because we've now gone down to two episodes of the week. Mm-hmm. After the feedback from you guys. So appreciate the feedback. We've gone to two. We felt like three was a little bit much as well.
Keep the feedback coming as well. We're always going to
Well, yeah, we want to learn. We are new to podcasting. Yeah. And it doesn't come naturally to, well, it does to Dodds, not to me. But
not to me.
We are testing and we want to produce something that you guys really want to listen to. So keep the feedback coming, please. And also, please subscribe and rate us 5 stars, because hopefully by now we should have hit the 100% 5-star reviews on,
fingers crossed,
Apple. We're hoping for iTunes to get to that level. That'll be a great day and we're going to be very happy when that happens, and we can't thank you enough for all your feedback. One of the things that we have been doing is reading all of your reviews when you've taken the time to write a review, so thank you for that. And we are going through our next lot of episode topics, and some of the things that have been written in there we're definitely going to cover, so thank you so much for that. Keep them coming, because we love to read what you think. As Dodd says, this is the Friday episode. It is the weekend, and this week's episode is entitled, I Shouldn't Say This, But I Hide From Responsibility in the Toilet.
It's a long title.
It's a long time in a toilet, I'm not going to lie. Sounds weird. I will go into the reasons of why I do that as the podcast goes on. First things first, though. And what I love to do, my favourite part of every podcast, is getting your admission submissions. This one is all about arrogance.
And we're going to do two submission admissions in this episode. Because, you know, we were doing three a week.
Yay.
When we went to three episodes, and we quite like that, so we're going to keep doing them.
Yay, I love that. So yeah, we've got two this week. Thank you for sending them in. If you want to share your own admission submission, then please go to the website www.katieleeson.com and leave your details there. The first one then of this week, I'm so glad we're doing two, I love these, they're my favourite thing, is from a female, age 26, and the title reads, I shouldn't say this, but I wish someone else got my promotion. Hi, Katie. I recently got promoted, and although I'm thrilled to bits, I do sometimes wish it never happened. I used to have fun around the office, but now I've been promoted to a more senior role, I feel like I have to take myself more seriously. You seem very comfortable in your role. Do you have any advice? Oh, why, thank you. Firstly.
Why, thank you.
Why, thank you, firstly. I think it's important to, as you progress in your career and as you get older, is to have a level of respect for yourself and also your job. To kind of, you have to change your mindset slightly. There is no getting away from that. And the further you get in your career and the job responsibilities that you have to change how you behave within your job. So yes, when I started out 14 years ago, when I started out 14 years ago, I would be out every single Thursday, go into the opening of an envelope, out at every event, every do, having fun with my friends. And now I know that I have to be seen as a bit more sensible, but also I just can't do it anymore.
You can't hack it.
No. I really struggle. I had a few drinks on Saturday, and then Monday I was like, it's hard work. But also, I wouldn't want to. I wouldn't want to put myself in a situation where someone would lose the respect for me as a managing director, and the following weeks after that, I would feel like that person would view me differently because of my actions on, say, a night out or within the office. So you do have to change slightly. But I still love being silly. Still love having those 5-10 minutes in the day where I can let my hair down and just have a laugh and joke around with people in the office. And I hope that that still comes through. I hope I haven't lost myself to my job title. And I hope you agree with that, Dodds, because you know me probably better than most people in here.
Yeah, we went for a few drinks on Friday, didn't we?
We did. There were a few comments about, oh, the MD's out with us. Which makes me feel a bit weird.
That you can't just hang out with your friends.
Can't. Yeah, but also they're not my friends. They're people who work with me.
Well, I'm your friend. Oh, wow.
Of course you are. Of course you are, but it's different. We spend a lot of time together.
Yeah, that's true.
I think it's important to recognise that within work circles, you are there for a reason. And it's not about getting lost in the job title. It's about respecting it and respecting how other people view you in the role that you're doing, but still being able to let your personality shine through and not living like you'd expect, for me, how you'd expect an MD to be. So again, it goes back to that me being a different MD to what you have in your head. Someone who's approachable, someone who can have a bit of a laugh with you, can go for a drink with you on Friday, but you would never see me swinging from a chandelier with people from work. You might see me on a Saturday with my friends, but that is a completely different scenario where I can fully be myself. So I think the further you get up in your career, there are sacrifices that you have to make. But also, for like, I would never want to do that with people from work. I wouldn't want them to see me in a different light. My only other thing to say on that is that you always need around you your cheerleaders and your support system, because it can be quite lonely the higher up you get, and you can feel like a little bit isolated from everything. So as managing director, sometimes I feel a little bit like it's lonely at the top. Steve's constantly flying around the world, so it's hard to kind of grab a bit of time with him just to bounce ideas off. And Dom's very busy. Everyone's very busy. Everyone's very busy in the company. And sometimes you've got to make decisions and discuss things that are a little bit trickier. And sometimes you just need a little bit of someone to vent to. So it's important that you've got your support system where you can be a bit more of yourself and let your guard down. And that's why I've built the team around me of people that I really trust. The next one, I love the fact we've got two of these. I'm so happy.
It's a good problem to have that we've got too many.
Yes. Next admission submission is from a female aged 19. And it reads, "Hey, I was hoping to get Katie's advice on self-confidence. I want to start my own t-shirt company, but I'm worried what people at work will think of it. I'd love to be able to just say to myself, stuff what they think, but I'm guessing I'm scared. Love the podcasts." Thank you so much. It can be quite scary when you open yourself up to do something. It can be quite scary when you open yourself up to do something completely new, a new challenge, a new opportunity, because you're leaping into the unknown and you're taking that first step into something that you don't know how it's going to work. It's not your comfort zone. So I completely get why you feel like your confidence would be knocked on this. My advice for confidence is always to start small and test it. I think my confidence comes with having little test runs on things. So with the podcast, with the videos, what we spent a lot of time doing is doing test runs. Dodds would be testament to the fact that we've spent a lot of time just sitting and recording me over and over again until I feel more comfortable in front of the camera. And the saying that practice makes perfect could not be more true in building my confidence. I now feel like I can look at the camera, I'm looking at it right now, and I can talk with confidence and conviction to you guys about what you need to be doing to build your own confidence, which is quite a big step, I think, for me. So for my advice for this person who wants to build their t-shirt business is start by taking very small steps that start to build your confidence up. As soon as you start to take little steps that build your confidence, you can then start taking bigger steps because your confidence will keep growing. So make sure that you can feel comfortable and confident at each stage, and also speak to someone that you trust who can give you that little bit of a nudge. I have Steve, who made me do this in the first place, who had the confidence in me, which then enabled me to have more confidence in myself, that no matter how many times we did these recordings or how many times I made a mistake, I knew that I had the confidence and the backing of someone that I respected and I trust in order to keep pushing me forward. So find your cheerleader and your support system, and also take small steps to build your confidence in the first place. That would be my advice. The person on the admission submission has asked about whether, they're worried about what people might think. And I've been there. I'm not going to lie. When we started doing these sort of things and you start putting yourselves out there and you're exposing yourself to criticism and people, it's a terrifying space to be in. But a really good tip and a really important thing to remember is that nobody cares about you as much as you. And I think that people might have an opinion, but you don't know what it's going to be. You can't dictate that opinion. And sometimes people are going to like you. Sometimes people aren't going to like you. That's just life. Karen, the therapist, actually talked to me about that and said that's, you don't like everyone. Like, I don't like everybody. But that's not because they're a bad person. It's just that your personalities don't match. And the same goes for the reverse. So you can't expect everybody to like you and what you're doing. So I think go into this with a very open mind and just see what the feedback is, because even if it is slightly negative, you can change what you're doing and make your product better. So don't worry about what other people think. You can't control it. And if you spend so much time worrying about what other people think, you'll never get started. Take the learnings from it, basically. We get feedback on the podcast. I could go away and say, right, we're never going to do a podcast again because people don't enjoy it. What we do is we tweak it. We learn from it and we change it to hopefully make it better for everyone else. And I'm sure it's going to be a great success, and I want to wish you the best of luck. Next part of this week's podcast is all my little personal admissions. I like doing these as well. They're funny.
You can't say that about everything.
Oh, but I just love doing the podcast. I never thought I'd say
such,
that.
Yeah, such a. I would never have bet you'd say that when we first started doing them.
I shouldn't say this, but I love doing my podcast.
Yeah, I'm sure there's an episode that's called "I Shouldn't Say This, But I Didn't Want to Do This Podcast." I'm sure there's an episode called that.
There is. I've changed my mind.
And that's okay.
It's my prerogative.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say this, but I'm a people pleaser. Oh, I am. You know I am.
I know that for a fact.
I hate giving bad news, but I know that if I don't, then it makes my life so much harder. I find it really hard to have difficult conversations, and I have to really wind myself up about it in order to do it. But I know that if I don't have the difficult conversations and I stick my head in the sand and I do a bit of an ostrich move and I just try and be like nice to everybody, then it's not the right thing for that person or the business. So sometimes you can't always be a people pleaser. I actually resent the fact that I try and do that as well, because it can be exhausting. I have definitely put other people's happiness before mine in the past, because I... Not only am I a people pleaser, I'm a massive worrier, aren't I? So I sit and worry about whether someone else will be happy about what's going on in our lives, rather than think about what's going to make me happy. It's not easy. Do you know what it feels like when you know you've got to have that difficult conversation? It feels like a snowball. When you hide away from it and you try and just people please, you can see that the problem's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And it feels like the snowball is building momentum and growing. And it's just going to cause a bigger problem. That's how it feels internally. So that's something I'm working on. And then the final little admission is, I shouldn't say this, but I knew it was over. We've talked a lot about breakups on our podcast. But what I've realised in talking about them is that you actually know that something's over, I think, before it actually happens, even if you're not the decision maker. You know that it's not right, and you know that you're not happy way before you even break up. And then in turn, that wastes everybody's time. It might not feel like it at the time, but when you start to look back and you reflect on things that might have happened or things that made you sad, you then realise that actually, yeah, it was never going to go much further anyway. So dragging it out that little bit longer is never going to be good for anybody. The damage that you're doing, though, is more damaging to yourself, because you're prolonging your own... Again, you're not happy. If there's something in it that you don't think's working for you, and you just, but you're not doing it because you're worried about being on your own, or you're worried about the actual mess of a breakup, then you're just putting your own happiness on the back burner. It takes a lot of courage. I can't say everyone should be so cutthroat. It takes a lot of courage, and it's very brave to make that decision, because you know that you're going to cause a lot of pain. but take comfort in the fact that even as the recipient of a breakup, you can look back and realise that actually it probably wasn't a very good relationship anyway. And you can get what you want somewhere else. They're my little admissions for the week. Moving on to the big one. Da, da, da. Moving on to my big personal admission of the week. And rounding off, sending you off into the weekend with an image of me in a toilet.
But why?
You lucky people.
But why?
I shouldn't say this, but I hide from responsibility in the toilet.
Go on.
I don't know where I get this from. It might be because my grandma always used to hide in the toilet as well. Whenever we used to turn up when I was a child, we'd turn up at my grandma's house and we'd have to sit in the car for a good 10 minutes whilst we waited for her because she was just on the loo. Now, I don't know if that was age or whether she was hiding, but now my sort of safe space is going to the toilet and having 5-10 minutes on my own. Might look like I've got a bad toilet habit, but actually it's my only place, especially in work. If I'm feeling a little bit overwhelmed, it's the only place that I can sit and someone will ask me a question.
So let's go through it. I dare say the word role play, but you're feeling really stressed at work. Everyone's coming at you from all angles. It's a really horrible day. And you just say, I need 10 minutes. You go to the toilet. What do you do?
I meditate.
Okay. So I'm looking for a little bit more than that.
Like. I know. So no day is horrible.
Yeah.
I'd like to just state that.
Okay.
So what happens is I can be in work and things in here can be very hectic. Always very exciting, but hectic. And it can come at you from all angles with loads of different questions and loads of people needing responses straight away because everyone's busy and everyone needs help. In that, though, it can sometimes feel a little bit overwhelming and I feel like I can't get my head clear in order to answer one person at a time. Especially that when your inbox is right sat in front of you as well and you feel that you can see the number of unread emails that are coming into your inbox. Everything can feel like it's on top of you. So what I found, and it was actually when I was having migraines, that I found that if I went and sat in the toilet and just did some meditation breathing, so I sit there and I just breathe deeply for in and out, counting to 10, each breath 10 times. So I breathe in for 10, out, and I count my breath to 10. And if I do that for about 5 minutes, I feel myself relaxed. And then from there, I feel like a lot clearer. We said it at the very first podcast, I think, or the second podcast, whereby the idea for this podcast came from when I went to the toilet. Mm. And that's because I have a bit of space where I don't have to think about anything else. It's not just in work that I do it either. I sometimes do it at home or when I'm out and about. I'm not great in crowds. I'm not going to lie. I'm not a massive fan of big groups of people. And sometimes I just need a bit of solitude just to calm myself down. And also meeting new people is terrifying for me. Some people are really good at meeting new people, but there are definite moments where I feel like I just need to gather my thoughts, and that's where I do it. One place that I found it really useful is at a networking event. They can be really scary places, can't they? I mean, like, you turn up to a sea of faces of people that you don't know. Some people love them and some people really relish them, but I find it daunting being dropped and plonked into a sea of people that I don't know where to start, don't know what to say is the first kind of opening line. So I want to share with you, hopefully there's other people who feel like me about networking events but probably have to go to them. So I want to share some tips about how I navigate a networking event. First thing I do is I look for a friendly face, and I think that's down to nature, where you look for the least intimidating person in the room. You can probably spot them. And then once you've found that person and you start to open your conversation, the thing that I find really useful is I give myself a little bit of an internal pep talk and I say, this is for one night only. You can just be like, I try and build... You're going to laugh at me now, Dodds. But do you know, a bit like Beyonce, Sasha Fierce? an alternative. So Beyonce has Beyonce, mm-hmm. and then Sasha Fierce is her on stage persona.
Right, okay. So she can be whoever she wants in that.
So on stage she can be Sasha Fierce, and Sasha Fierce has got all these other characteristics that Beyonce doesn't have, but on stage she is a different, and she behaves in a different way, and she is Sasha Fierce. So in my mind, I don't think, like, be Sasha Fierce, but what I think is, like, I'm Katie, I'm MD of Social Chain. These people are all in the same boat. Everyone's like me. I can be confident for one night only and not let my internal monologue where it's like, don't say something stupid, this is just embarrassing. Don't let that put you off. So I try and be a bit like an actress to build
that
confidence.
What would a confident Katie say right now, kind of thing?
Yeah, that type of thing. Like, I think I open conversations with just asking people's names and what they do, ask them about their lives, ask them where they go on holiday. Holidays are always really a good one because it's an easy conversation to have. Ask them why they're at the event and what they're looking to get out of it, and how they got invited to it. And then just see if you know anyone in common. So you might, from those things, notice that there are themes or there's something else that sparks conversation in different directions. But it should always feel natural. And then don't always... And then I find the most awkward thing is when conversations run dry and you're talking and you're talking and you're trying to get something out of someone, but then the conversation runs out and it's being confident then. So being Sasha Fierce and being confident enough to just say, right, I'm just going to pop to the bar or I'm going to pop to the toilet. And if you feel a little bit wobbly, you could just go and sit in there for a couple of minutes until you feel like your confidence has grown again. They would be my tips. Be an actress, be something that you want to be and you want to project, and don't worry about it. Taking that time, though, especially in a networking event, to sit in the toilet and just get that sort of, especially when your mind feels a little bit overwhelmed, just taking that time out. And it doesn't have to be the toilet. I think anywhere you feel like is your sort of area where you can have 5 minutes of calm in your day that will benefit you, it can only be a good thing. So you find your space, you find the best place for you, and I hope it works because it really does help me.
Could be a cubicle next to you.
Oh, yeah. Talk to me, though, if you are, but just don't ask me a question because I'm trying to get away from questions. That is my way I deal with being overwhelmed. There are a few other things that we have found as tips for anyone who's feeling a little bit overwhelmed, whether that be in work or in life. Talking to someone is obviously very important. Me going to see Karen, my therapist, is the big part of how I unplug and also break down the feelings that I have of being overwhelmed to understand them better so I can make changes and I can react to them. So that's very important, is talking to someone. Big fan of this one because I love it, is sleeping. Just relaxing and chilling and switching your brain off and going to sleep. The benefits of sleep are just incredible. So don't ever compromise on sleep because it won't make you feel any better if you're not sleeping enough. And then finally, one that we found which I really like is trying something new. Just getting yourself out of a routine and going doing something that you wouldn't normally do just to break up that overwhelming feeling, spoiling yourself, treating yourself to something that is out of your norm can have a massive impact. They say that change is as good as a rest, and I truly believe that. That if you change something or you do something new, you can have a massive impact on your mental health. So I'm hoping that if you are feeling a little bit overwhelmed, these tips can help you. But if you've got any others, I would love to hear them because I also still feel it even now and I don't think it'll go away. So if you've got any better and helpful tips of any ways you can help me with my feeling overwhelmedness, I would very much appreciate them.
Another podcast in the bag.
Wowzers. So that comes to the end of episode 27 of the podcast. Thank you so much for listening. If you want to leave an admission submission, please go to the website, which is www.katieleeson.com. We'd love to hear from you. As I said, it's my favourite part of every episode. And we will see you next... Oh, no, we won't see you next week. Well, we will, but we won't. So next week's episode is longer, and it's only one episode for the week. It'll be going out on Wednesday, and it is our after hours where you can learn a little bit more about my very close friendship with my supporter, my someone who makes me laugh until I cry, and my cheerleader, Miss Charlene Hanley. And I can't wait to hear what you think of that. We will see you very soon.